Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Aristech's second quarter 2014 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact Aristech's investor relations team at GK Investor Relations or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.aristech.com. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Kenny Green of GK Investor Relations. Mr. Green, would you like to go ahead, please?
Thank you, operator. I would like to welcome all of you to this conference call, and I'd like to thank Aristech's management for hosting this call. Yesterday, Aristech released its second quarter 2014 results. By now, you should have all received a copy of both press releases, which is available on Aristech's website at www.aristech.com. With us on the call today are Mr. Robert S. Ehrlich, Chairman and CEO, and Mr. Tom Hawk, Senior Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer. Bob will summarize the key highlights of the quarter, followed by Tom who will review the company's financial performance. We'll then open the call for the question and answer session. Before we start, I'd like to point out that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions, and there can be no assurance that they will, in fact, occur. Aristech does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand and the competitive nature of Aristech's industry, as well as other risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed during this call. These non-GAAP financial measures are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes that the presentation of these non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investors' understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing core operations and prospects for the future. Unless otherwise stated, it should be assumed that any financials discussed in this conference call will be on a non-GAAP basis. A full reconciliation of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures are in the earnings press release. And with that, I'd like to now introduce Aristech's Chairman and CEO, Mr. Bob Ehrlich. Bob, please go ahead.
Thank you, Kenny. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Yesterday, after the close, we announced our second quarter 2014 results, a set of impressive results which were the highest in our company's history. Revenues for Aristech were up 24% year-over-year, as well as sequentially, coming in at $27.8 million. In addition, just over half of our revenues came from the battery division, which now includes the operations of UEC, which we purchased at the very beginning of the second quarter. Our margins also came in at record levels, with gross margins at 37%, well ahead of our historical rates. Operating income, a record of $2.3 million, which is a strong 8% margin. Net income in the quarter was $1.8 million. Combined with the net income of the first quarter and the first 6 months of 2014, we already are ahead of the net income for the entirety of 2013, which was $2.3 million. And adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter was $4 million. Which means so far this year we have recorded $6.3 million in adjusted EBITDA. While this quarter was particularly strong, and we believe that 2014 will prove to be an excellent year for Aristech overall, we don't yet have enough information with regard to the second half of the year to warrant updating our current outlook. This is due largely to the inherent unevenness in the revenue timing amongst quarters with the business involved in many projects spanning multiple quarters. That said, given our performance year-to-date, we are confident that we will exceed the upper bound of our EBITDA guidance range, and we look forward to providing more definitive information in our next quarterly call. Turning now to the battery division. The battery and power systems division continues to perform well, and now consolidating the UAC acquisition accounts for over half of our quarterly revenues for the first time. Revenues in this division were also at $14.6 million, or 53% of our total. We also saw an increase in the gross margin in the battery business, which was part of the reason for the very strong gross margin in the quarter. Over the past year, we have seen generally increased interest in battery and power technology from both military as well as commercial markets. Advanced militaries are using increasingly sophisticated weaponry based on mobile computer systems and electronics, which require efficient battery power. In addition, there is recognition in the military and commercial markets that they need to transition from old technological methods to newer and more efficient methods to power their systems. As such, our Battery and Power Systems Division has been busy. We announced a number of new orders for various military and security-related customers throughout the quarter. I note that while, as always, it is difficult to estimate the exact timing of new orders, we continue to see many, many promising opportunities in the pipeline. In terms of our new product development and sales effort in the Battery and Power Systems Division, our next generation Swipes 2D is on track, and we hope to see the first orders in the next several months. We are also seeing increased military interest in our rechargeable lithium-ion technology as a replacement for the more traditional lead-acid chemistry. In terms of our work on large format lithium batteries, we are continuing our R&D development, leveraging our expertise in battery design, electrochemistry, and management systems for applications such as unmanned submersibles, rockets, UAVs, and tank batteries and starters. We believe that we will see the initial return from these developments in the next several years. During the quarter, we launched a new manned portable hybrid power management system, demonstrating to the U.S. Department of Defense with very positive feedback. The hybrid system is designed to optimize the efficiency of field generators. Numerous reports throughout the U.S. Department of Defense concluded that the generators are used well below capacity. Our system turns on the generator only when the battery state of charge falls below a certain limit. All excess energy produced is used to charge the battery array, making full use of generator output. We believe this could be a real game-changing technology for the military, while there are many relevant applications, we also see several opportunities in the commercial market for this product as well. With respect to the ion flow battery, in terms of our ion flow battery, we continue to progress toward a lab-level demonstration and hope to be ready for the demonstration sometime around the end of the year. Overall, we continue to leverage our experience and expertise with battery and power technology, which we are using to bring out new products with solutions for both our existing and new markets. Our ongoing efforts, we believe, place us in a strong position for continuing long-term growth and success in the Battery and Power Systems Division. On to simulation. Moving to our simulation division, we reported $13.2 million in revenues from training and simulation, 47% of our overall revenue for the quarter. In addition, our simulation business continued strongly to provide a solid gross margins. As we already discussed last quarter, our revenue is dependent upon the timing of awards, especially the most significant awards from the U.S. military. For example, the $36 million VCTS follow-on order, which solidifies our originally anticipated expansion of the business, was anticipated earlier in 2014, but was not received until the end of the second quarter. This timing delay has pushed some of our simulation revenue from the fourth quarter of 2014 into 2015, which we had reported before. The simulation division has, however, significantly increased its margins and profitability and continues to make a very strong contribution to our bottom line, to growth, and we are delighted with its performance. In terms of our major programs, as you know, we received a significant $36 million VCTS follow-on order towards the end of the second quarter. $20.4 million of that order is funded, with an additional $15.6 million in options, which we believe will be funded in the next two fiscal years. The order adds a fifth trailer to each of the previously contracted 28 training suites and reconfigures VCTS to match the Army's current operational concept for route clearance missions and includes options for continuing contractor logistical support of the fielded systems. Our BORCS program continues successfully. We have successfully installed 3 of the 17 systems thus far and are receiving great customer reviews. We have entered a steady production phase and look forward to our remaining installations over the next 18 months. Our customer has been actively upgrading this program as we have demonstrated its success and have already exercised 6 engineering change proposals valued at over $4 million. We are seeing a resurgence in sales of our commercial simulators despite the economic challenges for public safety and transit market segments, which they continue to face, as municipal funding has started to become more available. During the quarter, we received orders to upgrade transit driver training simulators for a number of agencies throughout the United States. Given that longtime customers continue to come back to us to upgrade the simulators we delivered to them in the past, it is clear that they see the value of simulation training and have a thriving program they want to maintain for years into the future. In May, we announced the receipt of an award from the Nashville Metropolitan Transit Authority for our bus driving simulators, and also received an order from the University of New South Wales in Australia for the installation of 12 network research driving simulators. These research simulators will be used by the university to study inter-vehicle connectivity and future highway design. We also capitalized on an investment in new multi-screen modular theater capability within our Milo Range Use of Force product, with an award from the Pima County Sheriff's Office as a first. We also fielded our first Milo Response System through Rockland County EMS. Milo Response is a judgment training system for emergency medical personnel and was selected as a, quote, hot product from the editors of EMS magazine. In summary, our second quarter and first half, we are very pleased, obviously, with the results of our performance. Our business is clearly strong, stable, and increasingly profitable. 2014 is set to become a record year for Aerotech in terms of both revenue and profitability, and I look forward to further updating you on our progress in the next coming quarters. And with that, I turn it over to Tom Falk, our CFO, for review of the financials and a discussion of our cash position. Tom?
Thanks, Bob. Revenues for the second quarter reached $27.8 million compared to $22.4 million for the corresponding period in 2013, an increase of 24%. Gross profit for the second quarter was $10 million, or 35.8% of revenues, compared to $6.3 million, or 28.2% of revenues, for the corresponding period in 2013, a 7.6 percentage point increase in the gross margin between the two periods. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter was $4 million, compared to $2.5 million for the corresponding period of 2013, an increase of 59.1%. As mentioned previously, we believe that adjusted EBITDA enhances the overall understanding of our current financial performance. The computation of the adjusted EBITDA is explained in our 8/11/2014 press release. The company reported an operating income for the second quarter of $2.3 million, compared to $1.6 million for the corresponding period in 2013. Operating expenses for the quarter grew to $7.6 million versus $4.7 million in the corresponding period last year. A large portion of this increase is due to the consolidation of the operations of UEC, which was acquired at the beginning of the second quarter, as well as an increase in R&D investment related to the development of the iron flow technology. The company's net income for the second quarter for 2014 was $1.8 million, or 9 cents per diluted share, compared to $1.5 million, or 9 cents per diluted share for the corresponding period in 2013. Revenues for the first 6 months of 2014 reached $50.2 million, compared to $44.4 million for the corresponding period in 2013, an increase of 13%. Gross profit for the first 6 months of 2014 was $17.3 million, or 34.5% of revenues, compared to $11.6 million, or 26.1% of revenues, for the corresponding period in 2013. This is an 8.4 percentage point increase in gross margin. Adjusted EBITDA for the first 6 months of 2014 was $6.3 million, compared to $4 million for the corresponding period in 2013, an increase of 57.5%. The company reported operating income for the first 6 months of 2014 of $3.6 million compared to $2.4 million for last year. Operating expenses in the quarter grew to $13.7 million versus $9.2 million in the corresponding period in 2013. Again, a large portion was due to the consolidation of the UEC into our operation. Net income for the first 6 months of 2014 was $2.8 million, or 14 cents per diluted share, compared to $2 million, or 12 cents per diluted share for the corresponding period in 2013. Our backlog of orders was $74.1 million as of June 30th, 2014, compared to $58 million as of December 31st, 2013. The breakdown of our current backlog is $52.4 million for simulation and $21.7 million for battery and power systems, which includes the UEC acquisition. As of June 30th, the company had $972,000 in cash, $229,000 in restricted collateral deposits. That's compared to the end of the year 2013, when the company had $5.8 million in cash and $498,000 in restricted collateral deposits. The company ended the second quarter with $5.1 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $23.8 million in long-term loans outstanding, which include $4.3 million in current and $19.5 million in long-term debt. This is compared to the end of the year, December 31st, when we had no short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $1.9 million in long-term loans outstanding, which included $995,000 in current debt and $1.8 million in long-term debt. The increase in bank loans obviously is due to our acquisition of UEC and purchase of UEC. The company had $7.6 million in available unused bank lines of credit with our main bank as of June 30th, 2014, under a $15 million credit facility under our FACT subsidiary, which is secured by the company's assets and the assets of other subsidiaries and guaranteed by Aerotech. The company had trade receivables of $12.9 million as of June 30th, 2014, compared to $12.4 million as of the end of the year, December 31st. We had a current ratio, current assets, divided by current liabilities of 1.7, compared to the end of the year when our current ratio was 2.1. It should be noted that as a subsequent event in July of 2014, the company sold 3,289,000 shares of our common stock, raising a gross amount of $11.5 million. Back to you, Bob.
Thank you, Tom. I think we're ready to field questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. First question is from Michael Crawford of B. Riley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Bob, I understand that you still can't warrant upgrading your current outlook, despite having generated $6.3 million of EBITDA through the first half. Can you remind us what the upper bound of your EBITDA range was and what your current outlook is?
It was 8.3. We're obviously very optimistic. We'll blow through that. We don't want to yet predict the top number, what it could be. We are obviously very excited about the way the margins are coming in and the prospects of the third quarter. But we'd like to wait to get a little more data, and we'll report at our next reporting. We will then probably look at, you know, revising the guidance because things are, you know, turning out much better than we had originally anticipated. But, again, it takes time to absorb UEC and to look at the overall business.
Mm-hmm. So that's good to hear that UEC is coming in better than anticipated on the margin side. You did say that margins were up on battery overall. Can you give the segment margins?
I'd have to turn over to Tom. I think we did give the segment mark for the batteries, but Tom may have that.
Well, we will report it tomorrow on our segment information or when we file the Q in the next couple of days relative to battery versus simulation. And the overall for the quarter is about 37%. And if you want to break that down, it's battery at 31 and simulation at 43.
31 and 43.
And that will
thank you. You know, in the future, if you could also publish a preliminary balance sheet or other financial information, that would be very helpful, even though the Q isn't out yet. On Flex 2D, you said it's on track, so is that on track to be a final product or on track?
Oh, it is a final product. We're now anticipating the first orders from the U.S. military that we hope to be able to deliver in the fourth quarter.
Okay, and what about on the IDF front for a Flex type product?
They have enthusiastically endorsed the product, but the supplier of the future soldier has held it up for some other things that they're trying to incorporate. So our system will be part of the future soldier. The orders won't come until the prime signs off on some of the things that they have asked the Army to reconsider. But we're locked for that business. It's just a matter of does it come soon or do they delay it again? You know, what we keep telling you, Mike, is the nature of our business is that things get pushed a little bit, not out of our control, but the IDF loves the swipes, the new swipes, and they're ready to go with it.
Yes, thank you. On the training side, in the past you've expressed confidence that that business will continue to grow, and you did receive this very nice follow-on order and extension on the virtual clearance suites. And so I think there's some other large opportunities, whether it's in wheeled vehicles or other that you're chasing. Can you just comment on the status of the pipeline there?
I don't have the numbers in front of me exactly, but I know the pipeline is the biggest we've ever had in terms of anticipated opportunities are in the neighborhood of over $200 million.
Just to be clear, those are not orders. Those are opportunities that,
right,
that we have put a probability on.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And then just regarding the backlog, thank you for giving the breakout between training and battery. I guess on the overall revenue side, can you just go into the dynamics a little bit of why revenues were up $6 million quarter on quarter, while UEC is expected to be kind of a $30 to $40 million revenue business?
So UEC is doing better than we had forecast. We were obviously, since we were very new to it, we wanted to be very conservative. They have done an outstanding job, both in revenue and EBITDA. And the simulation, as you know, because we had anticipated VCTS for the second quarter and didn't get it until the end of the quarter, that accounts for the shift between revenues, you know, batteries being somewhat better than expected and simulation being slightly less than we had expected, but nevertheless margins being, you know, out of sight.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Erlich to go ahead with his closing statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call is scheduled to begin in 2 hours. In the U.S., please call 1-888-782-4291. In Israel, please call 03-925-5921. Internationally, please call 972-3925-5921. A replay of this call will also be available in 3 hours on Aerotech's website, www.aerotech.com. Mr. Erlich, would you like to make a concluding statement?
Yeah, I think we once again have demonstrated an outstanding quarter. We anticipate, you know, having an outstanding year once again. We do keep trying to note to investors that the quarters can be somewhat lumpy as things move from one quarter to the other. But if you look at this year on year, we'll be much better than last year. We fully anticipate exceeding the EBITDA forecast. How much we'll be prepared to talk about in our next call. So we're quite optimistic. We're pleased with the results and pleased with the direction the business is going. And I thank the shareholders for their continuing support.
Thank you. This concludes the Aerotech second quarter 2014 conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.